So this is a very beautiful setting to speak about trees, because on all sides we can see so many of the trees of Uchigang. Especially over here there's a very large tree underneath which there are so many parrots are fed every day, and they hop around and engage in their playful activities. And meanwhile, up and down the trees run the little squirrels. You can see even at Ter Kadamba they would chase each other up and down the trees. So this is a very natural setting in which to think about and hear about the trees of Vrindavan. Today we wanted to share with you something about, as we described, the most appreciated, or the pride of the trees of Vrindavan, the sun of the trees of Vrindavan, for whom the trees of Vrindavan are extremely proud, especially the bamboo trees. Because the bamboo trees that live on the bank of the Jamuna are considered to be the fathers of the flute of Krishna. And the river Jamuna, who flows very gracefully along, is considered to be the mother. So this flute of Vrindavan, so many wonderful stories are there. So I will share with you just a few that came my way in the last couple of days. One thing you should understand is that even when Krishna was very, very young, he was also playing on his flute. Before he began becoming apparently interested in attracting the hearts of the gopis. And at this time, when Mother Yasoda was still, he was just a young little boy. At this time, Krishna accepted the flute as his dearest musical instrument. And he astonished all the people of Vrindavan with the incredible artistry and expertise of his flute playing. This is just a little boy. Commenting on this, the Brajbasi housewives would say, "O dear Krishna, your lips had previously tasted only your mother's breast milk, and now it relishes the soft notes of your flute. Which guru has taught you to play so sweetly? O darling Krishna, if you play your melodious flute again, I will adorn your face with tilak." In response to the elderly gopis' playful requests, Krishna would pick up his exquisite flute and he would begin to play the flute, and all the elderly gopis would become charmed by the beauty of Krishna's flute playing. Then we know, as Krishna became older and went to the forest, he used his flute so expertly to call the cows, to call the boys in the morning sometimes, either his flute or his bugle, to call them to come out and play. And sometimes in the forest they had panpipes along with their flutes, and sometimes Krishna would make a flute with the leaves of the trees, and he would play the leaves of the trees very expertly. So Krishna and the cowherd boys had so much fun, and the flute was his constant companion then. But the flute really comes into its own when Krishna starts to try to attract the hearts and minds of the beautiful young gopis of Vrindavan. And then the flute really becomes Krishna's greatest friend, because whenever he places the flute to his lips and blows his transcendental ear through the flute will play such beautiful sounds that the topmost, the fifth note, the highest notes of the flute can only be heard and appreciated by the gopis of Vrindavan. And in that sound even, they will think that, oh Krishna, he is calling our names. Sometimes even Krishna, if he wants to meet with Srimati Radharani, he won't play his flute, because the flute is such an expert messenger that it will bring all the gopis. So if he only wants one specific gopi, he will not use his flute in such circumstances. So the flute is given by Rupa Goswami as one of the messengers, one of the duties, the personalities who call and attract the residents of Vrindavan in whatever rasa Krishna is eager to play with them. There are three kinds of flutes, and I'm sure that Satchinandan Swami will have much more details, or Madhavananda Prabhu, on the intricacies of the different kinds of flutes. There is Krishna's, there are perhaps even more, but three are mentioned by Rupa Goswami. His Venu. Now, Venu is a word that is masculine. And Murli is a word that is feminine. So the Venu, I'll just see if I can find, has a name. The name of the Venu is Madan Jamkriti. That is the name of Krishna's Venu. And Krishna also has his Vamsi. And the Vamsi's name, the flute's name, is Bhuvana Mohini or Mahananda. Because the name of the Vamsi, because it is like a hook that is actually very expert at catching the fish of Srimati Radharani's heart. The Venu has six holes, and the Murli is also known as Sarala because it makes all conscious living entities become unconscious. So the Murli, the Venu, and the Vamsi. Murli and Vamsi are feminine. Venu is masculine. These terms. So when the gopis are staying in the village of Braj and Krishna has gone out to the pasturing ground, they meditate very deeply on Krishna, and as if with the eyes of their heart, the transcendental eyes of their heart, they can see Krishna's pastimes. But all their vision of Krishna's pastimes is through their own sentiments. So they transfer their sentiments to all the living entities who surround Krishna. They see the clouds in the sky as having so much good fortune because they can create an umbrella in the heat and droplets of rain or even honey or even small flowers to shelter Krishna when he's in the very hot midday sun. And they see the deer who can come to see Krishna with their very beautiful eyes. And the deer can come along with their husbands, because the deer, both the does and the deers come together. And the gopis lament that, look, the deer come just like we want to see Krishna. They can come, but their husbands don't give them any difficulty, like our husbands, who become very upset with us. So the gopis feel that if I could become a deer, if I could become a cloud, if I could become a bird in the tree, if I could become anything in Vrindavan, then I would be able to see Krishna. But I'm so unfortunate. The demigoddesses who are higher, they can see Krishna. The deer who are lower, they can see Krishna. But we are on the human level. So we have this great disqualification that we have to stay in our homes and we cannot actually go and see Krishna, whilst all these other living entities are relishing the sound of Krishna's flute. Now I'd like to share with you a little bit of a very, first there I have a very nice quote here. This is from Srila Rupa Goswami's pen. He says, "May the sweet sound of Krishna's flute, the authorized messenger, be glorified. For it expertly releases Srimati Radharani from her shyness and attracts her from her home to the forest." Shijiva Goswami elaborates on the glories of the flute. He says, "If one boldly yearns to follow the path of the great souls, one should look and see that path is splendidly manifest on the slopes of Govardhan Hill. I pray that I may attain the body of a flute. I do not pray to attain the body of a saintly teenage girl. As a flute, I will thirstily enjoy many blissful and rare pastimes of drinking the nectar of Krishna's lips. And if as a flute I become an inanimate object, a being without any consciousness, then at least I will become free of sorrows that I feel in separation from Krishna." So this is a very beautiful meditation that the gopis have on Krishna. If I became unconscious flute, then I would always be with Krishna. And at least I wouldn't have to feel, oh, I'm so unfortunate. I cannot go and see Krishna openly and freely without the shame and shyness of my position. So, of course, when the gopis and Krishna meet, they play very boldly. And the shyness of the gopis disappears. And one of their favorite pastimes is to somehow or another steal the flute of Krishna. They really, really meditate on this prospect. that somehow if we could steal that flute, because it ruins all our chastity, it makes us so restless, it disturbs all our peace at home with our family members and forces us to come running to the forest, if we could steal that flute of Krishna, then we would become very happy. So there is one very funny pastime where a theft of the flute took place. It occurred when Krishna, after he was playing with the gopis in various ways, they came together and they thought it would be very nice if we could steal the flute of Krishna. The flute of Krishna is like a snake scented with the aguru from Krishna's long arms. So what would Krishna do without a flute? It would be a very good idea. But is it a good idea to put him into depression? Because without his flute, he would have no companion. But on the other hand, when the flute is in Krishna's hands, it acts like a lance to cleverly pierce our hearts with its sweet, enchanting melody. Therefore, we must get that flute into our hands. The gopis were discussing. And Lalita Devi explained, we can't take the flute in Krishna's presence. It will be impossible. 1. 2, nor does he ever put it down. He's always holding it. And 3, even in a state of confusion, he does not let go of it. Amongst these 3 possibilities, we must find some way to steal the flute. And thinking like this, they decided that the 3rd possibility was the best one, to take it out of Krishna's hand when he was bewildered. That would be the best chance that they would have. So then they gave Srimati Radharani all sorts of expert advice in how to bewilder Krishna. But not knowing about this plan that they were conceiving of, Madhu Mangal, Krishna's friend Batu, his Brahmin friend who's very funny, he began speaking to Krishna and he said, you know, these girls, they're very good singers, but nobody, their singing can never match your beautiful flute playing. So out of jealousy, I think they might be trying to steal your flute. So to prevent this, so this may not happen, you should give me your flute. You give me your flute and then you can sing in a very loud voice. The gopis will not be able to approach me because of my brahminical status and my brahminical austerities. So they will not disturb me. Krishna replied, O Batu, we have fully witnessed the great strength of the brahmanas in your different pastimes. And without a doubt, it seems that today you will show us the festival of protecting the flute very well. He was speaking rather sarcastically. So then Batu became enlivened and he said, if I cannot protect the flute, I cannot protect the flute as much as that person who has given you the ability to attract everyone by the special power of his mantra. But one cannot see such a person in this world. So what is the question of trying to hide your flute? Do not mistrust a friend like me. And then Krishna warned him, what will happen if the gopis become so frenzied in passion and in anger that they just come and they overpower you and snatch the flute from your hand? He said, you will see the power I have gained from penances. So he took the flute and he put it right under his arm. And taking the flute and tucking it under his arm, he said to Krishna, now you please sing a song. Now, he wants to have a competition to see who can sing more sweetly. So Krishna, in a voice that would conquer even the veena, he sang a beautiful song in the Charachari Tala with great artistry. The Jamuna stopped flowing and all the natural symptoms that occur when Krishna plays his flute took place. All the living entities in Vrindavan went into a deep rapture. And Krishna sang so beautifully. And then Madhu Mangal became very proud. And he said, you see how nicely my friend has sung? Oh, arrogant young women, you cannot sing songs that give so much happiness. Now, there's one gopi who's particularly a good singer. Her name is Sangeet Vidya. So she said to Batu, "O unintelligent one, if Lalita is here, if Lalita, who is wearing a gorgeous silk sari, can sing better than Krishna, then this crooked-minded fellow will lose his flute. Let the flute become the wager." Mother Mangal said, "O learned one, only I know the science of music. It is difficult for any ordinary person to know, and even if engaged in constant meditation on this subject. So according to my final judgment, I will proclaim who is the winner at the appropriate time. This will please the devatas and everyone else." So Sangeet Vidya became angry and she said, "How can you judge?" And while smiling, Krishna hinted with a glance, and understanding this hint, then Madhu Mangal said, "If you do not agree that my knowledge of music is sufficient for judging, then we should agree that the singing of both parties is equal. Let us see if your singing, like Krishna's, can stun the Jamuna River, or bring tears to the trees and creepers, and make the birds and animals tremble in ecstasy. I'm certain that no one can sing as zestfully as my friend." Lalita replied, "Oh, stupid boy, a fool makes the whole world insipid. In all your gambling matches, the stakes..." Oh, I'm sorry, a very important point. Then he said, "All right, we will wager the flute. Here is the flute from Krishna's side. But on the other side, your wager should be that you wager Srimati Radharani." And this is what made Lalita so angry. She said, "In all gambling matches, the stakes must be of equal value. We can never equate glass with gold." And he replied, "Oh, worshipful one, do you think that my dear friend's flute is like glass and your friend is like gold?" Lalita said, "Is there any doubt? If you want equal stakes, then without fear, you should wager your friend." He said, "All right then." So he wagered Krishna. He said, "Begin singing. Because I am totally pure in heart, I will wager my friend." So then he began, and Lalita Devi began to sing. So beautifully she sang. So exquisite was the beauty of her voice. And she sang and sang and sang. And after she sang, with great pride, now just remember something, with great pride, Madhu Mangal put his hands up in the air and he said, Ah, I just want to tell you who is the winner. You are defeated. Lalita has been defeated." And meanwhile, you can just imagine what happened when he put his hands in the air. And Sangeet Vidya, who was very intelligent, saw the flute fall to the ground and immediately picked it up and hid it under her sari. So then he jumped around and Sangeet Vidya said, and she said, "Why are you so happy over something that never happened? You are prancing around like a madman. Your friend with the fickle ankle bells should consider who is the actual winner." And then he explained why she had lost. He said, "Because you were supposed to sing in the charachari beat, and you sang a different beat. So automatically you lost, and Krishna has won." So then after that, Lalita and Sangeet Vidya started to laugh. They said, "Oh, uncouth one, what is so remarkable about charachari or any other tune? The attraction of the word is in the swar and the gram and the murchana, and Lalita's song displayed the epitome of sweetness. Indeed, just see, the jeweled basins underneath the trees have melted into water and spread out all around the bases of the trees and solidified as sitting platforms." This is the beauty of Lalita Devi's singing. "It is true that from your friend's song, the Jamuna looks divine and the trees of Vrindavan become conscious and the birds and animals seem fully alive. But by our friend's song, they have all become petrified like hard rock. Therefore, we have won. Bring your friend and hand him over to us." Subal says, Oh, Sangeet Vidya, how is it that you have become so covered with foolishness like an ignorant person? With such intelligence, can you understand anything about music? Did you not think that it is impossible for this boy, this talkative boy, to wager Krishna and give him away? It is an acceptable rule that a person can wager only one who is his dependent. No one can wager and give away the Lord. Then Krishna said, Batu, now you cannot command any respect from others. You have been defeated by these girls who are proud of their victory and mad with the intoxication of the festival. Therefore, you had better give them the flute. Otherwise, my flute will go along with you anyway. Kusuma Savana said, but I have one. Showing your strength, you should snatch away their dear companion. Lalita said, unabashed you are, hard-working ass, Dalit. We have wagered on the song I sang, and the song proclaims my victory. Greedy woman, said Maru Mangal, if you speak in such an arrogant way, then take the flute which I have hid. And saying this, he looked underneath his chadar, but he couldn't find it. Oh, friend, he said, out of fear, the flute has run away from my armpit to some safe garden with unbroken creepers. When he said this, everyone started to laugh. Now, meanwhile, this continues, because obviously now it becomes quite complex, because nobody knows where the flute has gone. And Batu uses his great intelligence and thinks about it. And he makes a few comments, and the gopis reply with comments that indicate that they had an intention to steal Krishna's flute. So Batu points that out. He's very clever. And then he meditates and thinks for quite some time, and he concludes that the person who must have stolen the flute was Sangeet Vidya. He says, this Sangeet Vidya has really stolen the companion of your hand, the flute. She definitely took it. When we jokingly mentioned her name, intending to mean the presiding goddess of musical knowledge, she took it as meaning herself, and she became fearful. This is the sign of a thief. So meanwhile, Sangeet Vidya, what did she do? Very, very carefully, from behind her back, she moved very close to Lalita Devi, and she handed the flute over. And then, after she had gotten rid of the flute, then she turned to Batu and she said, oh, little boy, what is this? You are a big pit of deceit. How could I ever steal the flute while playing in the holy festival? You are heartless. What use have I in stealing a flute? If you accuse people of lying, please understand that you are committing a serious sin. Anyway, you talk too much. You are the incarnation of injustice. It is not necessary to speak false words. So go away. Today I have been merciful and spared you from punishment. This is the way the gopis speak. This is the way they give Krishna so much pleasure. So then Krishna decides, and Batu decides, it must be Lalita Devi who has the flute. And quite naturally, she also passes the flute on. And she passes the flute on to Srimati Radharani, who very deftly hides the flute. Sometimes she hides it in her braid, but this time she hides it under her sari. But then, destiny has its way. And so after the Shakatasura demon was killed, then a beautiful jewel was given to the hands of Balaram, and this jewel was brought for the pleasure of Srimati Radharani and given to her. So at that particular time, when everyone was looking for the flute, and they couldn't find the flute, and they were thinking that perhaps Srimati Radharani had the flute, then this jewel was brought, and Srimati Radharani reached out to catch the jewel in her hands, and the flute fell down. And then Krishna became so happy, and he was very pleased. He knew now that he had found the person who had actually stolen his flute. Sometimes the gopis come when Krishna's asleep, and in the same way they crawl in close to where he is, And very deftly they pull the flute out very quietly from his hand. And Krishna, he remains awake. And he's very much enjoying this pastime as they pull the flute away and then they steal it. So the gopis and the flute and the trees, the proud trees, the parents of the flute, they all enjoy so many wonderful activities here in Vrindavan Dham. And we should try to aspire to become a servant here. Now I'll finish with a very nice verse that my husband just handed me just before. He told me, I looked in Vrindavan Mahimamrita and opened it up at random, and I found this verse, and he shared it with me. O forest of Vrindavan, although I am extremely unfortunate and most fallen, I desire to attain a unique transcendental goal. As a result, I am sufficiently embarrassed. But even if I receive a drop of your mercy, then what is the need for me to be embarrassed? So yes, we should feel embarrassed because these transcendental pastimes and activities and the aspiration to assist in some way in serving Krishna is well and truly beyond our grasp. There's a huge, vast ocean between us and the fulfillment of such a desire. But if we pray and take shelter of these trees, they nurture us in so many ways and give us the strength and the inspiration that is required to continue with this process of Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much.